everybody. Thanks for coming out tonight and spending a little bit of your evening with us. My name's Matt Hilton. I'm a family and sports medicine physician with the hospital. This is Tina.
Tina Vandegucci. I do a few different things at the Center for Good Health, kind of off-site from the hospital. I'm a personal trainer there, wellness coach. I teach the diabetes exercise class, strength after breast cancer class. I do tobacco-free coaching, build your deep core, sleep science coaching, and certified medical exercise specialist there. So, but Dr. Hilton will have the stage first, so I'll be coming back and speaking with you later.
So tonight we're going to be talking about healthy habits and staying active this winter, always a timely topic and always near and dear to both of our hearts, so that's why we're here. You can get that. I can ask for it. Just ask for a request for a loop in the room. We don't have a loop. No, but it is now. Thank you. All right. I'm a doctor, but I don't know how to work a remote. Okay. So I'm going to be starting off with healthy habits. First, a little questionnaire to check in with ourselves. Why are we here? You could be doing other things tonight, maybe better than this, but hopefully not. Are you here because this is the new year, you're going to make a new you? Are you sick of feeling gray like the clouds in the sky outside and you want to beat the winter blues? Do you want to work on some eating habits and eating better? Do you want to move more and become more active, or is it all of the above? Where are we going to go? I'm going to start off by talking about beating the winter blues and strategies we can do to take care of ourselves during this time of year. And I'll move into some nutrition concepts, keep it simple, keep it practical, things that you can take home. And then Tina's going to get us going with some movement stuff. And our goal is to leave you with a plan that you can achieve and sustain. First off, let's mention the winter blues. The first thing I want everybody to know is that they're normal. Everybody feels a little bit of ugh during this time of the year because you wake up and it's dark and you come home from work and it's dark and you're like, where is that sun that everybody talks about? It's different though than seasonal affective disorder. That's an actual psychiatric diagnosis, which is when people have depression already, but then it just gets worse or more challenging during the winter months. And really, as far as this winter blues thing go, taking care of yourself is the key to it. My first tip for this is going to be sleep. Let's take advantage of the dark. It's already dark outside, so let's get to bed on time and let's get plenty of rest. The 7 to 8 hour window is ideal. This has been shown time and time again in research studies. And even though you'll talk to colleagues or friends that say, like, well, I just do great with 5 hours of sleep, and it's like, well, good for you. I'm not going to put any pressure on myself to be like that because you're in the minority and I'm going to get plenty of rest. Having a consistent schedule is really important as well. Going to bed around the same time, waking up around the same time, our bodies like that. And if you are in a normal schedule, you'll notice that you'll usually kind of start stirring before that alarm clock wakes up. And that's just a sign that your body is doing what it wants to do. That can be challenging, the consistent schedule, if you work an odd shift or if your schedule is kind of wonky and all over the place, but just do your best and be consistent as much as you can. Killing the screens. This is a huge topic in my office when I'm talking to patients about sleep and they're coming into me saying, I'm having a hard time getting to sleep, I'm having a hard time staying asleep. And I'm asking them, what are you doing to get ready for bed? And they're like, oh, I do this, I do that. And I lay in my bed and I watch Netflix. And I'm like, oh, okay. There's somewhere we can start as far as some improvement. Or even they'll say, well, but doc, I'm just reading something on my tablet. I'm like, well, reading something on a screen is totally different than reading something on a piece of paper. That screen is still more stimulating to our eyes, to our brains. And even though you're gonna doze off and hit yourself in the head as you fall asleep with that tablet, it's still not giving you as good a sleep as you would without that screen. So get rid of them. Most sleep experts will tell you to have no screens in the bedroom at all. And they'll say if you kill the screens an hour before bedtime, okay? And getting good sleep creates a positive cycle in our life. When we're well rested, we're more focused and alert during the day at work, We make better decisions with our food choices. We're more likely to choose exercise versus sitting on the couch. So it can create this positive cycle versus a negative cycle in our lives. Mindfulness, super popular topic right now, and for very good reason. Not because it's a gimmick, but because it has a lot of research to back it up, and it's a great effective tool for treating stress, anxiety, and depression. This has actually been a really good thing for myself that I've been applying over almost the past year, and really helped me with my own stress management, and it's been great. What it is finding a time in your day when you can be somewhere quiet, alone, and silent, and just simmering the mind and letting things go, and just mainly focusing on the breath and being right there in the moment, not worrying about anything else that's going on, which is sounds simple in concept, but is challenging in application. I have a little video that I'm going to play to a little bit better illustrate this. Yeah, I'm gonna start it over. Oh geez, I muted it. There you go. Third time's a charm.
And of course, all of this running around only adds to the feeling of restlessness in the mind. So training the mind is about changing our relationship to the partner, thoughts, and feelings. Learning how to view them with a little more perspective. And when we do this, we naturally find a place of calm. But we sometimes forget the idea of the occupied and become distracted, so of course we will. But as soon as we remember, here we are, back on the side of the road again. Just watching the traffic go by, perfectly at ease in both body and mind.
I think that's a great analogy or illustration of what mindfulness is about and how it works. And I really encourage all of you to explore this for yourselves. The two apps that I have listed here, Calm and Headspace, are two of the most popular. They both have a lot of free content that you can use over and over again, and if you really like it, like I do, you can buy a subscription to one of them and you can get loads of content to really get into the mindfulness movement with. Sunlight is another great way to beat the winter blues. This is a list of places you can fly directly to from Grand Rapids. When I was initially planning this talk, my wife said, you should just put that slide up and walk out. And I said, well, that would be a good idea, but you probably want to hear a little bit more than that. So if you cannot get to these sunny places, then there's something called light therapy that you can pursue as well. This is also research backed as far as being effective for winter blues and even seasonal affective disorder. The American Psychiatric Association recommends a few things, bright light being the best form of this, and they recommend a unit of 10,000 lux, which is equivalent to a clear sky on a sunny day. So not super intense sunlight, but pretty darn good. It's recommended to be done in 20 to 30 minutes in the morning. You're obviously not going to want to be doing this like right after dinner or before you go to bed. That's kind of counterintuitive. And you want it to be pretty big, like this picture is here. This is about the size of a good sized computer monitor that's above this lady. And what's beneficial about that is she can turn her head side to side, look up and down, and still have that light engaging her eyes and coming through and being effective. There's some, and this is an example of a quality product. This one particularly is called the Carex Daylight Classic Plus. It's a long name, I didn't come up with it. But the fact that it's big and effective for her is what makes it beneficial. There's other smaller products out there that are not gonna hit your eyes as readily as this one or other ones that are larger in size. For example, this one will run about $100 on Amazon, which sounds like a decent amount, but how much is your mood worth to you? There are other products called Dawn Simulators. They don't have as much research to back them up, but they're an interesting concept, and some people have noted some benefit anecdotally. And what they are is they're products that gradually increase the brightness in your bedroom as you're waking up. And so in the half hour or so before your alarm were to go off, it fills your room with light, making you think that it's, you know, the middle of summer, not by warmth, but by light. And so that can be effective as well. Nutrition, always a big topic, near and dear to my heart. First thing I'm gonna mention that we mentioned before and will continue to mention is how stress affects our choices. And when we're stressed out, we make poor food choices. Rarely are we going to the fridge to make ourselves a salad when we're grumpy and miserable. We're going to the cabinet or we're digging through the freezer to find that frozen dessert from Christmas. And so my question to us is, what's your first domino? What's the thing that is keeping you in that negative cycle and preventing you from making good choices? Is it lack of sleep? Is it lack of activity? Is it stress and those kinds of things? So ask yourself that question, and that can help you figure out where to focus your change on. Good nutrition takes planning. This is a phrase I use all the time in the office when I'm talking to people and they're telling me how much fast food they eat for lunch and how they're forgetting to plan for dinners, and so they're ordering pizza every night. And again, it just creates this negative cycle. And the reality is that good nutrition takes planning. You've got to plan ahead to have family dinners and leftovers for lunch and things like that so that you're not grabbing what's convenient, because what's convenient is rarely healthy. Fad diets, I want to mention these. They're going to come and go for the rest of our lives, so just get used to that. It doesn't matter what people are throwing out to either make a buck, or there's new information that's learned and we're going to change what we recommend. But what we want to gravitate towards are things that are sustainable, that we can continue to do for the rest of our lives, that are going to be healthy for us. My three pillars of nutrition are eat real food, not too much, and eat lots of produce. This is a little bit of a takeoff of another author's quote, but this is my version of it. And I'm going to break each one of those down for us. Eating real food. Does it come directly from a plant or an animal? If yes, it's probably real food. If no, it's probably a science project and you should question whether or not you should eat it. Now, I'm not saying that you can't have like a candy bar or a cake or whatever. Like, there's no food that's a forbidden food, but there's things that should not be regular in our diets. The things that are real foods are typically going to be in the outside of the grocery store. Think about your store that you usually go to, what's around the perimeter of the store. It's not Chef Boyardee, it's not Hungry Man frozen dinners, it's real food. And real food is vegetables, fruits, nuts, beans, eggs, milk, fish, meat, those types of things. It's not that you can't use seasoning and cook them up and make them interesting, but it should start there. Not too much. This might seem obvious, but Americans are really good at eating a lot. The Japanese have an 80% rule that they follow or historically have followed. And I think it's a good concept. Part of that is slowing down to know that we're actually feeling full. And so slowing down, actually tasting our food rather than just inhaling it. And then we can ask ourselves, are we full? Are we 80%? Or do we need to loosen the pants and take a nap to recover from whatever just happened. Calorie counting, as far as the not too much goes, this can be really helpful for some people. They like to track that, that's beneficial for them. Other people, it stresses them out and just creates a negative experience for them. So if calorie counting is something that you think would be helpful for you, a great app is called MyFitnessPal. Lots of produce. Recommendation for adults is 2 to 3 cups of vegetables a day. And 1.5 to 2 cups of fruit a day. Anybody want to take a guess as to how many Americans meet this? What percentage? 15, 0, it's better than 0. Any other guesses? What's that? 10%. 10% of Americans hit this goal. So chances are there's a lot of nines of the 90% in here, and I might be one of them, but we can all do better in this category. Yeah.
Your 80% rule.
Mm-hmm.
Can you just visit that rule before?
Mm-hmm. Sorry. Yeah. Sorry if that was not clear. The question was about revisiting the 80% rule. The 80% rule is eat until you're 80% full. So sorry if I didn't make that clear. But that's kind of the guideline. So you don't want to eat till you're stuffed and uncomfortable, what I call Thanksgiving full. But 80% full is usually a good guideline. There is a diet out there. Diet, I'm going to use that in parentheses because it's not really a diet, it's just a guideline. That comes up time and time again as far as being beneficial for health, especially cardiovascular health, which is the number one killer in this country, and that's the Mediterranean diet. Now, there's not any one specific Mediterranean diet. It's based on the countries that are in that region, and there's like 13 countries in that region or so, and so you can't pigeonhole it into one category, but there's some general guidelines that these countries adhere to. A high consumption of fruits, vegetables, whole grains, potatoes, beans, nuts, and seeds. All real foods, all very good for us, and those are all plant-based, which is great too. They also have a high consumption of olive oil, which is probably the best oil that we can consume as far as the fat goes. It's a good unsaturated fat, and they use it a lot, both raw and with cooking. They eat a moderate amount of dairy products, fish, poultry, eggs. Those are all pretty good sources of lean protein and some healthy fats in there as well, especially with the fish. And then they don't avoid completely red meat, but they eat a little bit of it. And instead of it being like the core staple like it is in America, it's just kind of a little bit of their diet. And then they also drink a moderate amount of wine. Some of you are probably thinking, great, this tyrant is finally letting me have something good. And yes, we can have a little bit of wine, but they don't have a ton. They're not slugging back a bottle a night. They're having, you know, a few glasses a week. All right, that concludes my portion. Tina's gonna keep us moving here and talking about staying active. The question is, what's so good about potatoes? I used to be pretty anti-potato because they're really starchy, but they have some nutritional value as far as the vitamins and minerals they contain, and when it's eaten with the skin, it has a good amount of fiber to it as well. I wouldn't make it the core of my diet, but they have some benefit to them. Mm-hmm.
Happy move year. Did you catch that? Happy move year, M-O-V-E. This is the year that you will move. Yes, I am Tina Vandegucci, certified medical exercise specialist. And I bring that up because I like the slide that was out here earlier, that movement is medicine. That's completely where I'm at. And that's where I'll be coming from for the next few minutes as I present. You'd have a hard time convincing me that there's any medical condition that cannot be improved with exercise. So I'll let you think on that, but I firmly believe almost every medical condition can be improved with exercise. And as a personal trainer, I'd say most of my clients have, or I should say maybe had, chronic conditions. Chronic conditions meaning high blood pressure, high cholesterol, diabetes, pre-diabetic, a BMI that's too high, inflammatory conditions, and so forth. So that's kind of my clientele, and that's a niche that I fill as a medical exercise specialist, sort of filling the gap between a physician's advice and the patient's application. So we're going to talk a little bit. I'm going to start out talking about lung capacity. I had a question just before the lecture started about lungs. And there's a doctor, Dr. Sears, he's developed a program called PACE, if I can get this right, Progressive Acceleration of Cardiopulmonary Exertion. Now, we'll come back to that, so just kind of put that in the back burner. We're going to come back to that program. But he cites the Framingham study, which has been around for quite a while. It's a long-standing study, quite reputable. But he cites in that study where they concluded that there's 40% of lung capacity loss by the age of 50. Now, I'm 53, and that number is unacceptable to me. I do not want to live with 40% of my lung capacity gone. I've had exercise-induced asthma for about 30 years or so. Finally weaned myself off an inhaler last year. So I have a feeling, I understand what that feels like, but I also know that there's things that we can do about this. That's the good news, is that we can revive our lung capacity. In fact, at 60, there's 60% loss by the age of 80. All right, there's some old guidelines that have been around for a while. These are the minimal activity guidelines. Some of you might come in here saying, well, what's the least I can do? What's the least I have to do? Well, to get some benefits, the U.S. Surgeon General recommends all Americans accumulate 30 minutes or more of moderate intensity activity. So that word accumulate is key, because many of my clients, in fact, 80% of Americans, and I'd probably say 80% of my clients, come to me that do not do this. 80% of Americans do not get 30 minutes of accumulated movement per day. Now, I'm talking walking down to the juice aisle at Meijer, shoveling snow, running after babies that are crying, going up and down stairs, adding up the whole day of activity. Many Americans do not even get 30 minutes. All right. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And yes, we're going to get there. We're going to get back to that lung capacity, I promise you. So I would say this is the first step. If you're not here yet, and many of my clients are not here yet, I'd say let's get to this point, and then we'll talk. Then we'll move on. So our first step is getting them to this point of 30 minutes of accumulated activity. Then we start moving on to piecing it all together. Can you do 30 minutes sustained in one shot? Of endurance, 30 minutes of endurance activity.
How the word moderate, that's a vague term.
We'll differentiate moderate versus vigorous in a little bit. Yep. So, and what I'm going to do is if I don't answer some of these questions by the end, bring them up again, because I really want to answer those questions. But this sometimes get in, our feelings sometimes get in the way. Does anybody ever say this to themselves? Is this an issue or? We're not, this is not the crowd. Lisa, she's honest. All right, but I don't feel like it. I don't feel like it. I've heard this many times. I've said this at times. Well, there's certain things that are willpower busters. Our willpower resides in our frontal lobe, and there are certain things that compromise our frontal lobe, and these are it. Sugar, caffeine, alcohol, tobacco, drugs, even medications. Even prescribed medications may have side effects that affect your frontal lobe and your willpower. May make you somewhat depressed and make you not feel like exercising. We already discussed lack of sleep, stress, unbalanced diet. If you're really low on, or if you're, say, you're really high in the sugars, you're going to have a sugar drop. You're not going to feel like exercising. And simply a lack of exercise decreases your energy. And affects your willpower. Dehydration. Vices. Can anybody name any vices? Anybody have any vices here? Anybody want to fess up? Lisa already was.
Television.
TV, that's a good one. Anybody else? Anybody ever use Facebook? Oh, gotcha. QVC shopping channel? Any gamblers here? We already said TV. So it doesn't, what's that? Video games, that's a good one too, video games. Maybe even heavy metal rock music. These things actually are proven to affect your willpower because they compromise your frontal lobe. Lack of sunshine will definitely be a willpower buster. Isolation, you know, we were designed to relate and engage and be connected. And if you stay disengaged, isolated, disconnected, that actually can be somewhat of a sinkhole in your life and can bring on a depressive type feelings. Now this last one, overindulgence. simply, that's a pretty general statement, but overindulgence in any one of these areas, but even in good areas, overindulgence in exercise can be actually an addictive problem. Overindulgence in sunshine. I would say overindulgence in, anybody have, we already talked about Facebook or some of these other things. So there's moderation in everything. We need to avoid what is harmful and be moderate in the things that are good. So I really want to stress, as before we move on, that our habits matter. And we're going to be talking about the habit of sitting less and moving more. Because this is the new governmental guideline. It's almost too simple, possibly, in my opinion. It's quite simple. But this is simply doing things around the house, parking a little bit farther away from the store or your office. These are things we've heard about for years, right? And many of you have heard of these. So my question is, how many of you do these things already? You move quite actively. These are included in your day. Can I see a show of hands? Okay. All right, so these are already in your day. If not, step one right here. Sit less, move more. 80% of Americans don't, so this is for them. But how many of you also do this, but you also move 30 minutes a day, accumulated movement? Some of you are doing that already, right? All right, so we got a show of hands. Now, of those people that raised their hands, how many of you possibly still have high blood pressure, high cholesterol, pre-diabetic, diabetic, have a BMI that's too high, or have some other issues? So what do we do when sit less, move more is not enough? That's what I hope you're here for tonight. That's what I hope to tell you tonight, when this is not enough. And you want your body to run better. What do we do? Well, I have these two slides up here for a reason, because the key word, one of the key words, is this principle theory called overload. We need overload. We need more than what we're used to. So compare these two couples. Yay, they're moving more. They're sitting less, they're moving more. They're getting sunshine, they're getting fresh air. They're socializing. There's many benefits about what these people are doing, right? A lot of kudos, good things here. But you notice her feet are not even on the pedals. So that's happening. One thing, they don't have helmets on, so I don't know how serious they are. I don't know how long they're going to be. They're going to be up there for 30 minutes. Are they going to be huffing and puffing? It looks like they're joyriding, and wonderful. De-stress, that's a wonderful thing. But this might not be affecting, it might not help their high blood pressure, or it might not lower their cholesterol. We need more, right? So I'm saying it's time to get serious. These guys are a little bit more serious, yes? Looks like they're going to be out for a while. They've got some packs here. They're pretty serious. They got the helmets. They're actually going to be encountering some hills. And looks like, they've got, I'm sure they got some water and some things like that. So you never know what is around the corner. And that's why you want your body to run better, because you never know what's around the corner. Yes. How do we need to move? We need to move for our life. Move for your life. That's the overload I'm talking about. We need, our bodies need, after we kind of do the same old, you'll get the same old results. Possibly some of you have been doing your 30 minutes on your elliptical 3 times a week, or you do your same walk around the neighborhood 3 to 5 times a week, or you're hitting Menards and doing the walk, or you're hitting the, used to be West Shore Walkers, we have a few walkers that we used to walk together at West Shore Mall. You're doing that, but it's not enough. We've got to shock the body. So in my words, I'm just going to call it a little bit of it, shock therapy. Here's where that pace comes back in. Remember, does anybody remember what that stands for? You get extra credit. Yes, pulmonary, PA. Acceleration. Look what's happening here. Yeah? Acceleration. So actually, it's progressive acceleration of cardiopulmonary exertion, AKA my language and what we're going to HIIT, called High Intensity Interval Training. High Intensity Interval Training. Because what we found out, and I've been in this fitness industry for a while, they've done some studies that there's a good, better, and a best type of workout. Many of you are exercising good. Possibly you could exercise better and make 2019 a much more efficient year of movement. A year better, it's a gift of time as well. I'll show you that later. So here's a 16-week training study of a continuous exercise group. Now, what does that mean? That's your same old aerobic 30 minutes on the elliptical type thing. Or whatever, fill in the blank, whatever you might have been doing years past for about maybe up to 30 minutes, good for you, but you're not getting the results you wanted. So they compared those people, in other words, we call that aerobic exercise. That was their aerobics, okay? So they compared that group. Well, with this study, they did improve their capacity 16%. But this aerobic interval group improved 35%. So something's happening here that an aerobic interval group, aka high intensity interval training. I'm going to give you the nuts and bolts of high intensity interval training, and we're going to have a live demonstration in a few minutes. So you will leave fully aware of what I'm talking about with high intensity interval training. Here's some of the benefits. Calories burned are greater, cardio fitness increases, and it's not boring. Believe me, it's not boring. And if you think it might be boring, we'll get you up here pretty soon. We'll put you all through a little circuit. There's a decrease in boredom. I must put this out there, a medical clearance. Most adults don't need to see their doctor before starting moderate intensity. There's that word, that moderate intensity. Well, moderate intensity is typically aerobic. You can breathe. You can carry on a conversation, talk test. You can talk to your walking partner. That's aerobic. That's moderate intensity. And most of you don't need to go see the doctor before you start doing that, because sometimes it takes a while to go in and get an appointment to see the doc. You don't need to put that off. Most of you guys can go ahead, start tomorrow morning, and go do some moderate activity. Now, we're going to talk today, though, about vigorous exercise. So, the disclaimer is that inactive men over 45 or inactive women over 55 should consult a doctor before starting a vigorous exercise program. Now, I have to tell you, I'm working with Dr. Tyler Murphy at Center for Good Health. He's a lifestyle medicine doctor. So when I heard that he was coming to my facility and coming to Holland and doing this for Holland Hospital, lifestyle medicine, I said, what took you so long? Because, I believe this, the medical exercise, they're a pair. But I have a handout in the back if you're interested in what this lifestyle medicine is all about and possibly something that you might want to pursue that you can actually speak to him about it. There's a handout back there. You can check about that. But many doctors, you give them a call, you check up with them. I'm getting referrals from Dr. Murphy to do this. And you also can, you know, maybe you would be seeing Dr. Hilton or other doctors. Let them know what we're suggesting. And this may be part of the repertoire down the road. All right, so what is this high-intensity interval training? Well, here's the benefits of. It definitely will improve your cardio, heart, vascular, circulation, pulmonary, lungs. So we got to improve, we're going to improve all of these areas. Normalizes your cholesterol, lowers your blood pressure. I touched base with it. I actually got a little text from one of my clients saying, good luck on your talk tonight. I hadn't seen him for about a month because, a month ago he fell ice skating and broke his hip, busted his hip quite severely. So it was great to talk to him. I says, hey, I'm going to go talk about high-intensity exercise. He says, you're free to tell them about me and how I was able to cut one of my blood pressure medications. Since he's been working with me, he only gets to see me twice a week. But this guy works hard. He works very hard. And I really probably these are the only 2 hours a week he actually gets to exercise. He's a very busy doctor. But for these 2 hours, he's doing solid high intensity. And he's had a lot of wonderful lifestyle changes. We check his body composition, including BMI, but he's so excited that he was able to drop one of his blood pressure medications. So that's Tom. Increase in lean body mass. Produces the hormone response that stimulates fat loss. The hormones, testosterone, this is for women too, wonderful for women too, and human growth hormone. They call that the youth hormone. Movie stars pay $1,000 a week for human growth hormone, but you can get it for free today if you implement high-intensity interval training. This is something you can produce with high-intensity interval training. Human growth hormone stimulates fat loss and helps with the muscle rebuilding. Breakthroughs in weight loss plateaus because you torch calories. It's quite a high fat burning, it's quite a high calorie burning session. But the good news is, it's short though. The good news is it has one of the highest rates of afterburn, equal to strength training. There's a lot of afterburn, which means even after you're recovering and you're sitting down and you're having a meal, you're still burning calories at a faster rate. That metabolism is still revved up. It elevates your mood and metabolism because we're increasing your endorphins, dopamine, serotonin, the other feel-good, happy hormones. So we get a boost there. Digestion improves because circulation improves. You will sleep better. Every part of the body gets more oxygen. So this is why I'm saying, what medical condition can possibly not be improved with high-intensity interval training if every cell in your body is getting more oxygen? BMI. Anybody have an issue with BMI, want a little lower BMI? That's a measurement around the middle. That's something that sometimes gets measured for even insurance reasons and so forth. Was there a volunteer? No. Okay. 4 months. This study was 4 months. This is what they did. Two HIIT sessions. Two of these sessions, which I'll show you what to do, and two strength sessions a week. And this was the result. Increased brain function. That's huge. Brain function. What resides in the brain? The willpower. We talked about the frontal lobe and the willpower. Increased brain function. Memory and thinking. The production of new brain cells. It's actually one of three methods that I can tell you that shock the body into producing new brain cells. And I only have time to cover one of these methods today, and that will be the high-intensity interval training. You'll have to get me back here another time, and we'll talk about the other two. But they're shockers. You got to be prepared for them. But this is the shocker we'll talk about today, high-intensity interval training. Okay. Okay, we're going to move on. Because some of you raised your hand and said there was some pre-diabetic or diabetic issues here. Diabetes takes a hit with high-intensity interval training. This is what's happening for all of us. But the exercise gets used up. Exercise uses up the glycogen that's stored in the muscle. And that can be a frustration with those who have diabetes, is that one of the issues is the glycogen is the muscles are full. They're all booked up. They're full of glycogen. So in this class that I teach, actually, diabetes exercise, I have a handout if you're interested. We move the muscle. We do some of this high-intensity interval training. So we clear it out. We clear the glycogen out of the muscles. And isn't that great? Because then everything gets moving. Well, then we've got room for more. So the glucose can move in, and the glycogen gets used up. So that's a goal, would be to have those glycogen stores to be cleared out. As long as we have this picture of the muscle man up here, I wanted to just briefly mention that remember we talked about aerobic exercise? Aerobic is more steady state, moderate intensity. You can breathe. It's a steady state, aerobic, air-consuming exercise. Aerobic exercise tends to use exclusively your slow twitch muscle fibers. Slow twitch muscle fibers are the ones that are responsible for just keeping you moving at one pace. And those are comfortable for us to use. But high intensity interval training uses slow twitch and fast twitch. And those are responsible for your fast, power, reflexive movements. and we all could benefit from increased use of those as well. All right, I'm going to move on to also let you know that many elderly and heart patients showed better oxygen use, there's the cardiopulmonary usage, after doing these interval sessions. And while what I'm going to do right now is, because we're going to have a live demonstration, I'm going to have my demonstrators begin a warm-up, because they're going to actually be doing a session in here in a minute. Now, I've got one of my mall walkers, so for her warm-up, I want to show you some different options. She's just going to be walking around in the back of the room. So you can go ahead and start your walking now for about, we want about a 3-minute warm-up. Dr. Hilton is going to be one of our other demonstrators. Now, again, if he wants to walk around the back of the room or do his thing, that's fine. Elizabeth, one of my clients, she's going to go ahead and have a seat on the Airdyne. And I just want to tell you about Elizabeth here for a minute, with her permission. As she's on the Airdyne for one reason, because she came to me with plantar fasciitis. And some people say, oh, can't exercise. Oh, I got a condition. See you in 3 months. No. She also had knee issues, ankle issues, wrist issues, but she's able to do this just fine. So right now I got these guys moving here for about 3 minutes. I'm going to continue talking so we can be efficient here. Here's our HIIT formula. And by the way, you will be getting my 4 top slides. This is one of them. This entire slide and the 3 other slides that are very important will be in the back. So you'll be able to take those home. This is the formula. And as Dr. Sears plays around with the time and the intensity, but this is the basics of HIIT. 2 to 5 times per week. 4 to 10 cycles. Well, we're hoping to get in about 3 today with these guys. But you can do anywhere from 4 to 10 cycles. I'm a swimmer. I swim every morning. I was at the pool this morning. I did a lot of different cycles and different lengths of HIIT training. It can last anywhere from 20 seconds. That's about the minimum. The research is saying you don't get a whole lot of benefit. It's less than 20 seconds. Up to 4 minutes. After 4 minutes, there's a lot of lactic acid that's going to be building up and not released. Then, after you do that hard, hard stint, you're going to actively recover until you catch your breath. And I want to talk about that unsettling feeling sometimes. In fact, one of my clients who's a psychologist brought this to my attention. He says, you know, some people maybe are fearful of that feeling. And I thought, you know, that could really happen. It's kind of an unsettling feeling to lose your breath, yes? To be breathless. So this is where I'm going to suggest you do a rational assessment. After you do your, start small, maybe for you it's 20 seconds. Do a rational assessment. Hey, how are things? How do I feel? Well, I feel a little nervous, but I caught my breath. I'm okay, I can do this again. So I want you to do a rational assessment as you're going through high intensity exercise. So how hard is high intensity? How hard? This hard. High intensity exercise, as hard and fast as you can. You look puzzled. Do we have an understanding? High intensity exercise, as hard and as fast as you can, you will be needing to go hard. So I want you guys to be moving for your life, as we're saying here. Have any of you ever experienced this? Anybody experienced this? All right. How do you feel at that moment? That doesn't matter. You're going to go. You're going to go as hard as you can. I talked about Dr. Sears earlier. Actually, he had a woman, because sometimes people need to recover after, you know, sometimes you may need a little longer recovery. He had a woman who only went for 7 seconds, but she needed 15 minutes to recover from that 7 seconds. Your fitness is not measured in how hard and fast you can go, but how long it takes you to recover. So the fitness recovery cycle is very important. I need you guys to move for your life. See, I'm a farm girl, so some of these are very familiar to me. And you need to move for your life at those times. You know, there's a few different ways we measure intensity, and there's one of them is by your zones. Five zones. Well, zone four, and this is our goal, is to be between zone four and five. Zone four is a few words. I can say a few words. Zone five, no words. That's how hard we're going to be going. Okay, so I also have this handout for you. This is your workout. I picked one, really basic, 6 cycles of 30 seconds. Now, I'm not telling you how long to recover until you catch your breath, because it's going to be different for you than you. It's going to be different for Dr. Hilton. For the sake of controlling things today, we'll do about the same time of recovery together, but you're going to go as hard and fast as you can for 30 seconds, and then you're going to recover. So I'm going to need, can I have you be at the bell? Here's our official timer. So you guys can come on up and get ready for your 30 seconds of HIIT. Do you feel like you're warmed up? So you don't need anything high tech. I'm not selling anything fancy here. Hopefully you have a second hand. And that's all you really need. Just for our sakes, he's going to be ringing the bell so we know when to start and stop. I'm going to move out of the way here, and this is what's going to happen. The first 30-second stint, Elizabeth is going to be on the bike bicycling forward as hard as she can. Dr. Hilton's going to be right here in the center so we can put him on center stage. He's going to do what we call burpees. Anybody know what burpees are? There's a love-hate relationship with burpees. So, and you feel free to stand up if you can't see well. He'll be demonstrating burpees. And then over here, we're going to be having, I want to demonstrate that you guys can do this anytime, anywhere. How many of you have a step in your home? One step. Somewhere you can find a step. You can do high-intensity interval training on that step. So she's simply going to be doing stepping up and down for 30 seconds. Are we ready? Everybody's ready? All right, you're in charge of clicking the bell to start and stop, and you can watch the 30 seconds whenever you're ready. Let's cheer him on when he rings the bell. Hard. There we go. Go, 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 go. Woo! Nice, 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 nice. Go, Elizabeth. Go, go, go. Come on, you guys need some clapping. Come on, cheer him on. Cheer him on, cheer him on. Woo! Go, 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 go. Where's that bell? Where's that bell? Where's that bell? Where's that 30 seconds is a long time. Go, 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 go. Woo. All right, now's your recovery. We're going to let them recover. While they're recovering, what's happening? I'm going to let you know what's happening in their muscles. While they were doing this, lactic acid, they were working anaerobically. Aerobic is with air. Anaerobic is without oxygen. And you build up lactic acid in your muscles, and that can be painful, or I should say uncomfortable. yes or no? No, we're not there yet? Okay, so that's what happened. Now you need this recovery. That is so vital. Rather than them going solid for 3 minutes, this recovery, that catching their breath, your liver will take that lactic acid and cycle it through what's called the Krebs cycle, which is an aerobic pathway. And when it comes shooting out of there, it produces way more energy than you had when you started. So you can actually have more energy. Have you ever gotten revved up after you've exercised? More energy after exercise than when you started. So that's kind of what's happening in your muscles. Do you guys feel recovered? Have you caught your breath? All right, so this set, we're going to do, Elizabeth is going to start a backward cycle. In case you haven't heard on, I just want you to know, they are designed, you can also go backward, if you didn't know that. Dr. Hilton is going to do high knees, but high impact high knees, just to show you what you could do in your living room. And you're going to do low impact high knees, just marching in place. So we have 3 demonstrators here. ring the bell, you're on whenever they're ready. Go, 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 go. So encourage, we want to encourage them to breathe deep. Relax your shoulders, Elizabeth, relax. There you go. Knees up, knees up, knees up. You can do anything for 30 seconds, anything for 30 seconds. Here we go. Ooh, she's doing high intensity. High intensity, wow, she got more energy than we thought. Woo, wonderful. I don't know how that clock is going. Our timer's over there. Woo, okay. Woo, nice job, nice job. So this is when either you can stand. One thing you don't want to do is lie down. You want your recovery to be active. That's why she stays moving on there. If you wanted to just walk around a little bit or sway, I'll have you move just a second so they can see all of these options back here. The possibilities are endless. X, fill in the blank for your life. Climbing a hill, biking, she's biking, swimming. Maybe it takes you 30 seconds to race across the pool as fast as you can. And then you can stay there and recover or swim a lap easy to recover. Running, squats, push-ups, we did burpees, high knees, jump rope, hula hoop. But you got to go for your life. You got to really rev it up. The stairs, walking through sand, that sounds like a fun one. Jumping jacks, hopscotch, that'll work. In fact, high intensity exercise, if you're unsure, watch your children. Watch the children. What do children do on the playground? They sit for one someplace and then they dart somewhere else. And they'll sit there and they'll dart somewhere else. Or you could watch animals in the wild. There's no wild animal that jogs. All right? They typically run for it or they're grazing. They do one or the other. So are you guys ready for our last set? All right. So this one, in case you have an Airdyne at home, I just want you to know, you can do arms only. So she's going to do the arms only on this one. I'm really bracing her core to protect her back. Any special requests for Dr. Hilton? I was going to have him do squat jumps, but maybe it's what do you want him to do? Should we have him do push-ups? Push-ups, what do you think? Push-ups, okay. All right, push-ups. And what were we going to have? Oh, we're going to have you do squats, basic squats. Okay, so when our timer is ready, go ahead and begin. Third session, last set. Here we go. And begin. Go, go, go. Woo, we need to cheer them on, guys. Sit way back on your heels. Nice job, nice job. Beautiful. Good, put that weight back on your heels. Nice job, Elizabeth. Good job. Keep your core strong. Brace, shoulders relaxed. Tough on your arms, just turn them upside down. Pull, 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 pull. Working that lung capacity. Beautiful, beautiful. Nice job, nice job. Let's give them a hand. Woo. All right, you guys can walk around to recover. So if they were to go hop in their car right now and drive off, which many people do when they're done, you're apt to be sore tomorrow morning because that lactic acid is staying in the muscle. You need that recovery period to flush it out. So that's so important. They are a cycle. They go together. Okay, and again, you'll be getting a copy of this handout. So you should be able to pull together your own workout. This is a great starting point. A typical, what is this going to take you? Maybe a total of 12 to 15 minutes. Does anybody have that time? So we can actually, you know, get this hit done. Some more results I want to show you. again, here's with the more of a pre-diabetic issue or insulin sensitivity. This is the workout that they did. And I'm going to give you a copy of this workout. 2 weeks, in 2 weeks, to 35% improvement in insulin sensitivity by doing this workout. These were sedentary people. They had not exercised for over a year. So I don't know if any of you can relate to being a subject like this. This is what happened. Their average age was 45, and they pedaled at 89 to 95% heart rate max. What does that mean? Well, these guys were going at about 90, 95% max. 100% is you can't possibly go any farther. You are 100% as fast as you can. So they backed off. So just a little bit. This is about where high intensity should be. I'm not going to get into the specifics of numbers today and heart rate numbers because I want to keep it as simple as possible. You need to be breathless, breathless. And then you wait until you've caught your breath. And I said some people that might take, he might be able to go again in 30 seconds. Someone else might need, as we said before, 15 minutes. But once you've caught your breath and you be honest with yourself, it's time to go again. It's time to go. And then give yourself that cool down. So these people did, and this is a pretty much my go-to, one of mine that I do at home. 10 cycles of a 10-second burst with 60-second burst, 60-second recovery. So there, the recovery is not negotiable. So that's it's a little different phase. You've got to be ready for that. If you know some, yes, go ahead.
Is this the plan for what that study?
Exactly.
That study?
Correct. Correct. Yes. This is the protocol that was used for this study. A 28-minute workout in less than 30 minutes. Anybody get a 30-minute lunch break? 30-minute lunch break? I'll get back to that. When will I see results? I've just pulled these from a lot of the research that I did. They showed 8 weeks to a lower HDL cholesterol, 8 to 12 weeks to better aerobic cardiovascular fitness, and 12 weeks to better fasting glucose, inches lost, drop in the blood pressure. I think this one is, that was the BMI. We might have passed that one. But so here's a sample workout. I give this to most of my beginner clients when they're ready to push their heart rate up a little bit. This is the first one. A total workout time of 20 minutes. There's a 5 minutes warm-up. Well, that's enjoyable. That's enjoyable time. You're just walking. You're just moving. You can converse. You can check your phone. You can do what you need to, but you're moving for 5 minutes. Here's where you're going to get serious, right in through there. And then you need that 5-minute cool down. We talked about that. This is my go-to workout, this 30-minute HIIT workout. I have a bike set up in my home. This has been a gift of time. I completed my first Ironman in 2018. There's hours and hours, endless hours of long-distance training. I don't always have long hours to do that. You can cut your time down, 30 minutes, but still get great gains, great benefits to doing this in 30 minutes. In fact, that 20-minute workout that I just passed, I know two busy doctors with young children who it's their go-to workout. Sometimes they may just get 20 minutes. But if you're doing that maybe at the end of your day or the beginning of your day, that's all you get, but you go hard for that 1 minute, it releases that glycogen. It gets things moving and actually will produce more energy after the workout. All right, I just want to finish here with a couple high-tech HIIT apps. You saw how high-tech we were over there, right? All right, we could have just even, I have one of my clients, she says, well, I just count. So as long as you're honest, 1,000, 2,000, as long as you count to 30, that's one way to do it. Or if you like apps, I tried that one, it's just seconds, but then they wanted me to buy something. So they have to get the Seconds Pro. Some of these are subscriptions. I did want to tell you what Tabata means. You might see that. It's interchanged often with high-intensity interval training. It is high-intensity, but it's a form of high-intensity with a cycle of 8 cycles of 20 seconds hard, 10 seconds recovery. So it's not negotiable. Now, many apps, it's great. They will talk you right through that. I have a DVD I do with my clients. The lady tells us when to start and when to stop. We just have to listen to the prompts. But it's 20 seconds work, 10 seconds recovery. It's not negotiable. And you'll do that for a cycle of 8. Then you get a nicer long, about a 2-minute warm-up or 2-minute recovery period. And you go and do another cycle. So that's Tabata. So they found a lot of benefits to Tabata ratio as well. And here's a few other ones. So I want to summarize my piece with a reminder. It takes 21 days to make a new habit. We are what we repeatedly do, and excellence is a habit. I stole that from Aristotle. And finally, practice makes perfect. practice makes permanent. And I will be sticking around for a little while. If you have more questions, I can answer a few other questions. I'm gonna let Dr. Hilton finish up in case people need to leave, and then I'll stick around for a while to answer more questions.
Yeah, thanks everybody for coming out. Just a reminder of the things that we went over overall. We touched on sleep, we touched on mindfulness. There's handouts on both of those in addition to the HIIT workout handouts. Talked about light therapy, talked about nutrition. And I was mentioning to Tina, we could have really made a talk on each one of these topics, all of themselves. So we didn't dig deep tonight. We wanted to hit the high points and give you some practical tips to take away and start applying now. So we'll take a few questions here, not super long, but yeah, thanks again for coming out.